a diabetes breakthrough.
Democrats took the House passed legislation, ratified it, said, woohoo, we have a win. No, they pushed through a Band-Aid, a two-month extension, to give more time to try to reach another lousy deal. And let's face it, nobody wants to pay taxes. We don't want to pay taxes, right? If we had our druthers, wouldn't we prefer to just do it on our own? Wouldn't we prefer to have the money back to keep the payroll taxes to save on our own? I would, because I don't think Social Security is going to be there. They are pilfering Social Security, because this legislation anyway would cost $180 billion, so that adds to the $15 trillion national debt that soon is going to be much bigger than our entire economy. So I'd rather decide what degree will Social Security be rendered insolvent. How about what year? Not to start on a negative note. Hey, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, and this show is America Tonight, if you've just tuned in. Yeah, the beast that is in Washington did not get fed, if you will. There was no deal cut on this whole payroll tax extension thing. Instead, the House said, forget it, we're not going to do it. They did not ratify what the Senate pushed through. Instead, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, wrote a nasty note to the President. Or maybe it was a nice note, but he was pushing him, urging him, pleading with him to beg the Senate to come back to work on a bill that wouldn't be just 2 months, a piece of legislation, that it would be a year. So that it'd be a whole year. You get your $1,000, your $800, your $2,000, depending on whatever it is you make. However, remember, they're ripping off Peter to pay Paul. That's the other part of the story. So the president is going to run on this. They are going to drive this into the dirt. Trust me. Here's a little preview of what we're going to hear throughout 2012 from President Obama.
Whose taxes, people, whose to the American people will have to answer? House Republicans fail to disappearing.
See, he's choked up. He can't even tell you what he's saying. You know, basically, by not doing this, and basically what the president is going to say when he's out there stumping is, it's the Republicans' fault. They're screwing the middle class because they're only about the wealthy, the party of the wealthy, and it's about class warfare. So why won't they pass this? They cannot order the extension of the payroll tax cut. Congress has to take action, so it's not the president's fault. It's not his fault. It's the fault of the Republicans. In fact, the specific quote would be, House Republicans refuse to allow a vote. I think we have that now.
One of the House Republicans referred to what they're doing as, quote, high-stakes poker. He's right about the stakes. But this is not poker. This is not a game. It's not a game for the average family who doesn't have an extra $1,000 to lose. It's not a game for somebody who's out there looking for work right now and might lose his house if unemployment insurance doesn't come through.
All right, so that's, like I said, that's a glimpse of what you're going to hear next year. You lost your house. You lost your money. You see that the Republicans do everything to say no, 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 no. And he went on after saying that about the poker, the analogy, all that stuff. to that, that what they're really holding out for is to wring concessions from Democrats on issues that have nothing to do with the payroll tax cut. Okay, now the other part of that story is, Mr. President, you don't want the stinking pipeline from Alberta, Canada, to go down through the U.S., end up in Texas. You don't want to have to deal with that because it's an election year. And what is part of what was put into that legislation, what the Republicans wanted, is what are you going to do with the pipeline in 60 days? Is it a yes? Is it a no? This way, the president doesn't have to deal with it, so he doesn't upset the environmentalists or the union guys because he doesn't do anything with it. You wait until after the election cycle and then deal with the fallout, because if you are a second-term president, once you're in, you're in. So once he gets in again for the second time, that's another 4 years. It doesn't matter. Now you're not playing for more time, because, you know, what my theory is, they're always playing for the next election, always playing, always playing, always playing, always playing when you're, you know, when you're a politician. So in this case, he wouldn't have to worry about that, and then it doesn't matter. Then he can make whatever decision he wants to make on that and see what the House and the Senate says. But at this point, it won't have any effect on his constituents, people that would possibly vote for the president. So neither Harry Reid nor House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi would appoint Democratic negotiators for the conference committee proposed by the House Republicans. Boehner named 8 House Republicans as his representatives, but there was no word, of course, on Senate Republican conferees. So obviously there's mistrust. Obviously there's inaction. It's the same thing, and it's the blame game, and this is going to be the theme heading into next year. Whose fault is it? Who can we blame? Whose fault is it? And it's all related to economy and money and the great divide. So what we've seen this past year, 2011, is what we're going to see more of in 2012. Coming up in this hour, a couple of interesting things that we're going to do, including some lumps of coal on the flip side and a vote of confidence for a young quarterback who has captivated the nation. I think by now you know who I'm talking about. Tim Tebow, the signal caller for the Denver Broncos, who just lost to New England this past weekend. But Tebow is on quite a roll. Whether or not he's saying, oh, I can't take credit for it, and in some cases, he really can't until the tail end of the game. So that was our game of the week last time out. Nobody nailed the score. But maybe this time somebody will nail the score when we do it again on Friday in our third hour. So we're going to let you hear that as well. All right, what about the fallout from Iraq? There certainly is a fallout. It's what we expected. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, okay, Shiite-dominated government, not liking the Sunni influence, not liking the Kurdish influence, spells the same old trouble that they've had in that country, only there's no Saddam Hussein because he was taken out. So Nouri al-Maliki is the prime minister. What happens heading into the future? We've left. Our troops are gone. Now it's all about the diplomats trying to massage that new country's policies, but it's not looking good, and I'll tell you why on the flip side.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own. More than you could ever know. Make my wish come.
Is somebody I can believe in who represents us on the Hill. Oh, man, wouldn't I love that. Now, there's some people that I do like, some possible rising stars. We'll see what happens with Rand Paul. I talked to him early in the game a couple of times before he became the senator from Kentucky, and I liked a lot of what Rand Paul had to say. One thing that he talked about that really stuck with me was, imagine this, ladies and gentlemen. You are part of the legislative branch, right? And you've got to decide on some serious bills that could become laws that will affect many, many, many people. So wouldn't you want to know the finer points? Wouldn't you want to read it? You know, we have a caller named Izzy in Missouri who's reading the tax code. She's halfway through. She may be the only one in America that reads the tax code. So these bills are so gargantuan that the assistants, the pages, the people around the Congress folks and the senators are reading the legislation, the proposed legislation. That's a problem. You got to be able to read it, know it, some reading days to have a better understanding of what it means to the people that are ultimately going to be either burdened by some of the laws that are made, or perhaps unburdened by some of them in a positive way. Listen, I'm for a smaller government, but I'm not for no central government. Although the way we're going, I'm almost at that point where it's like, forget about it. Can we all secede right now? Let's do it. We'll take our chances. Maybe we can get our own people to pay off for us, to make it work, to have an equitable relationship. That's what it is. We don't have an equitable relationship. If I were dating Congress, I would have dumped them a long time ago. Oh, they're brutal. And so the payroll tax extension and ultimately what that would mean to most Americans, like I said, I think most people would rather just keep their payroll taxes and save it on their own rather than be stuck in the gunk that is big government. In what somebody told me is the ultimate Ponzi scheme, if you think about it, because you get these breaks or these cuts, but there's no reform. There's no reform of it. So I almost wish you could opt out. And Social Security just keeps getting pushed further and further to the brink. It really does. All right, we got to get to a couple of other things. I could sit here and get on my bully pulpit all day long and get on that roll and go over and over again, and I could just hear the sounds of so many of you clicking over to hear what 17th star was discovered or alien species might be coming down on another station. So let's move to the situation in Iraq quickly here. I don't think this is a surprise to most of you. You knew what the unrest was and the tension. But we put our blood, sweat, and tears into that country. We're not going to see war reparations. So all they can pump all the oil they want, but we're not going to get any of that money. So that's number one. The $800 gazillion that we lost, we're not going to see any of that back, which is, again, part of our problem with the deficit that's over $15 trillion. So at least wouldn't it be nice to leave and see that things are kind of intact in that part of the world, that it's not going to crumble and fall apart and go back to what it was, or all we see is bombs going off and people setting themselves off in the middle of marketplaces and whatnot, and all because of religious reasons, because they can't get along. Remember, you've got this problem of Nouri al-Maliki, who is a Shiite, and you've got a Shiite-backed political leader who is not giving up control of the interior and defense ministries. Then you have a VP, Tariq al-Hassimi, who's being accused of organizing a death squad that is aimed at knocking off the government and military folks. He says it's crap. There's a warrant for his arrest. He says it's false. It's all about politics. And he never has and would never be involved in violence. Yet somehow, there are three people that are security folks to al-Hashimi who were taped saying that they know that he was getting ready to rip apart the country. I'll call it rip apart the country, saying that they, you know, that he was threatening to target security people and shoot and target government folks and all that kind of stuff, and saying that the orders came directly from al-Hashimi or his son-in-law, who's a senior member of his staff. Now, the people who were seen on the videotape confessions, like I said, were guards for al-Hashimi, so they probably could have heard a few things. Did they really hear that? They didn't seem distressed, according to people who saw the tape, and they believe they were under some sort of threat. They weren't under some sort of threat to make the confessions. So what is that about? And al-Hashimi is saying he's never done that, he never would do that, and it's ridiculous. They also said that the vice president personally thanked some people after a number of attacks and rewarded somebody $3,000 after the first IED attack against the senior Ministry of Health official. So there's some nasty, dirty business going on in Iraq. But this political turmoil, of course, is concerning to Washington, because guess what? It's like Vietnam we're not going back in. That's it. We're done. Whatever happened, happened. And whatever happens in the future, we're not part of this thing, but we certainly invested in it. We certainly invested in what happened there. All right. It's all about a vote of confidence when you're in the sports world and you're new and you're taking over a team, so to speak, as the quarterback, because the quarterback is theoretically, right, supposed to be the leader. And the guys that are on the team have to really want to rally around the leader, the quarterback. Usually it's the quarterback. So you've got a kid who is getting a lot of attention for his religious beliefs and for the way he's turned around the fates, if you will, of the Denver Broncos. You could talk about their defense, but certainly he's doing some things right, even though they lost to New England. So finally, John Elway, who is like a god himself in a way in Denver, gave Tebow a huge endorsement. And because there's been so much made about that relationship, Tebow was kind of excited about that.
Mr. Elway is obviously one of the best to ever play the game, and you know, just to get any compliment from him is extremely nice. And he's been around this game a long time, so that's nice to hear.
So here's the thing: John Elway, Hall of Famer, took over the team, agreed to come back and take over the team in a way after they booted Josh McDaniels. So he's worried about player moves and that kind of stuff. And Tim Tebow is not a guy that he was sold on in the beginning. You could tell that. But now Elway said that he thinks Tebow can morph from a scrambling quarterback into a pocket passer, which suggests that they're not going to look for a draft pick of a quarterback in April. He says Tebow's not going anywhere. He's going to be a Bronco, and we're going to do everything we can, and hopefully he's that guy. How about that? I mean, Elway led Denver to 5 Super Bowls, 2 titles when he was playing, and he is Mr. Denver. So the Broncos lead the AFC West, and they've already doubled their win total from last year at 8-6. So they're relevant under this new chief of football operations. How about that? And it remains to be seen how far they'll go or what will happen, but he's the story. He's the story for people who aren't even paying attention to football. Hey, good time to remind you, don't forget about our Nail the Score. We should change it to Nail a Politician. Maybe we'll do one of those in the future, but Nail the Score contest in our third hour on Friday, because we'll be doing a live show.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why, when you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold-weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world. That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. I am so thrilled to welcome this man to our show. He is the golden throat. I mean, this man's voice has been on everything. Plus, he was an actor, too. You might remember Don Morrow as the Shell Answer Man. You remember the Shell Answer Man, the free booklets, all that stuff? Okay, but that's nothing. He's done a ton of other things. He even was the guy doing the commercials for the Titanic. Remember James Cameron's huge hit, the Titanic? Remember the booming voices on the commercials? That would be Mr. Morrow as well. Plus, he's done all kinds of narration on A&E, Biography Channel. I watch that one a lot. You know, I'm a huge history fan. The History Channel, PBS. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. The list is so long. So, and plus, besides that, he also co-authored The Forsaken Heroes of the Pacific War dynamite book about 106-year-old World War II vet who sadly, Doc Brown, although what a long life, died just today. So how apropos that this is when we get to, a chance to speak to Don Morrow. Don, we are again humbled by your presence on America Tonight. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
I'm overwhelmed.
That's sweet of you to say that.
No, it's very sweet of you to say all those things that I've tried to forget about. No, I'm kidding because they were all wonderful jobs. Titanic was a wonderful job, and God knows the Shell Answer Man, which was one of the great jobs of all time. 7 years on that one.
Yeah.
Actually, I worked for Cameron that long on Titanic because there were so many ancillary things that went on with that even after it came out, you know? So that was a hell of a good job, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Tell us, I mentioned Doc Brown. Tell us about Doc Brown and what kind of a man he was. What was he like? Your friendship really spanned for a while with him. And like I said, that book was tremendous. It really laid everything out for anybody who read it. And you can still, of course, get it today. But tell us about what was so special about this guy.
Okay, well, Doc Brown, first of all, up until yesterday morning, was the oldest living survivor of the Bataan Death March. And he was also the oldest living veteran of World War II. But he succumbed yesterday morning at 10:20 a.m. He was 2 months and 10 days shy of 106. He was a fabulous guy. I met him originally at the Hollywood Y out in Los Angeles. And we became friends. There was a funny way we met. They were looking for a couple of old guys to shoot some baskets for the Today Show. They were doing a special on seniors, you know. And so they picked me and they picked Doc. And when they dragged me into the basketball court, he was standing in the middle of the court popping them in from mid-court. I'd never seen anything like that, you know. And this guy, he was 81 at the time. I was only 60 then. And I was just amazed at this guy. Well, as the years went on, I got to know him better. He played a hard game of handball, where most everybody else by then was playing racquetball. He was playing handball, which I used to play, too, at the New York City Y up on 63rd Street. And handball is a much tougher game, really, than racquetball, I should say. And Doc still could, at the age of 95, he still beat everybody around there. I mean, it was amazing. And then at 95, he got pneumonia. And so his daughter took him to her B&B in Pinckneyville, Illinois. That's about 70 miles southeast of St. Louis.
Yeah.
And that's where he had been up till this past year when she put him in the nursing home, which he didn't mind at all, because there were a lot of ladies in the nursing home, and Brownie always liked the ladies. Well, he was a pilot before the war. He owned an airline out in Iowa, and then he learned to fly after he bought the airline, little airline, you know, a couple of planes, and he was a dentist. He had been an incredible athlete as a kid. High school and college, he was four-letter band in each, and he was the captain of the Creighton University basketball team as well, which was very famous. And he put a team together afterwards that beat the Harlem Globetrotters, the most famous basketball team of all time. Anyway, he was a fabulous guy. And being ROTC, he got called into the Army in 1937, and he was already 32 years old with a family with three kids. But, you know, if you're ROTC, they call you, you go. That's it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's in.
Yeah.
And he was in the Philippines by midsummer of 1941 before the war hit. And they were having a pretty good time over there in the Philippines. They a lot of these guys had brought their families over. He was thinking of bringing his family over, even though the specter of the rising sun was coming up very hard and fast at the time. Well, America was, as far as the troops in the Philippines went, were so under-equipped, it was pathetic. And when the Japanese invaded, they just had literally nothing to resist with. Their weaponry was World War One. Their equipment was World War One. Their uniforms, their helmets were all World War One. So they weren't in very good shape to fight. And then, of course, they thought they were going to be the aggressors, and the Japanese just overwhelmed them, and they had to retreat down the Bataan Peninsula. And then they were surrendered in April of 42, and they were all, 90% of them were already dying of starvation then.
Yeah. And did he tell you how rough that was on that Bataan death march, what that was, what that must have been like?
Well, he did, yes. In our book, that's been dealt with so much by far better writers than I that we just use his words in the book. And he, it's not that he underplays, but he didn't overplay it either. But certainly you would get the idea from the book that it was the most horrific thing that ever happened in any of our wars. Probably the most horrific thing that happened in any war of anyone's lifetime, as far as that goes. America had put artesian wells along that route. All the way, every mile, they were not allowed to have one drink from those wells on the entire march. And every now and then some guy would break from the crowd and try to get a drink, and they just got beheaded or they got stabbed or they got shot. One of the three. So they lost about 40% of the guys on that march.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen other things. I was thinking, maybe Sunday morning, the CBS Morning Show did a thing on Doc, and just incredible. It was incredible that he, as you said, as you were describing when you first met him, how athletic he was and how you'd never know, it was unbelievable with squash, etc. He was like an ageless guy, wasn't he, until the very, very end?
He was. In fact, we... Kevin, my co-author, and I took him to the, 4 years ago, that would have been in, 2007. We took him to the convention, the annual get-together of the Battling Bastards of Bataan, Corregidor, and Mindanao. And he was declared there as the oldest, the oldest survivor of it, you know.
Yeah.
And these guys were fabulous. We talked to so many of these guys. They were mostly in their 90s. There were some in their 80s. And there was nobody there over 100 except Doc. But these guys were the healthiest looking guys you ever saw. Now, there's only about 400 of them left now.
Yeah.
But they had such great senses of humor, and they were so proud of their military past. See, these guys had been told at the end of the war to not talk about their internment, to never talk about it. They were ordered that. And so for years they kept it contained. But most of them couldn't stand to even sleep in their beds when they got home. They couldn't eat the food. They had been so abused and constricted during those 3.5 years in the camps, that they couldn't normalize again after the war. But the ones that have survived it and that are still coming to those annual conventions are fabulous, fabulous guys. Unbelievable.
Yeah. We're speaking with, of course, legendary Don Morrow. In fact, Don, can you hang on through with us for a little tiny break, and we're going to come right back?
My pleasure.
All right, voiceover king Don Morrow. We're going to be back with more here on ATN.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95, so get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We're back with Don Moore on, of course, talking and reminiscing about really just a terrific guy in Doc Brown and what, you know, what he meant and what he was like physically, and the fact that he was the oldest survivor. You think of the Bataan Death March, and Don did such a great job in describing what that was like, and many of us who, some of us are too young to remember but had it in history class, have seen it come alive through various films that have been made, including the more recent one that Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg did. Did you catch that, Don? Did you see the Hanks series, Spielberg?
I did see that. I frankly didn't think that much of it because it was just a repetition of battle scenes that we've seen over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
If people are really interested in the Bataan Death March, there's a couple of books they should really read besides this one, which only takes about 2 hours to read. Mm-hmm. But Laura Hillenbrand, who wrote Seabiscuit.
Yeah.
She wrote a book called Unbroken. Laura goes into what happens to these people very, very deeply. I mean, it's brutal beyond belief. A lot of people wouldn't be able to read it because of that, because they, you know, talk about something that really is gory. And she wrote about a particular guy also, a real-life character named Louis Zamperini. He was an Olympic runner. He ran at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, in fact. And the Japanese knew that when they captured him, and they brutalized him for that reason. They made him run races after they'd beaten him up. And I mean, her story about this guy is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, I've heard that because that's a recent book.
Tears in the Darkness by Michael and Elizabeth Norman. And that's about a guy named Ben Steele, who is a professor out in Montana, an art professor, and he's 96. And he's still going strong. There's something about these guys that survived it. They are stronger than the average person and live longer. It may have been that diet, I don't know. I mean, you know, they were starved to death, these guys.
Sure, as you said, 3.5 years, and that's, you know, her title of her book says it all, Unbroken, just crazy. And that's as I was saying, that's a fairly new book too, and that's a good one to recommend. I'm glad that you did that.
Both of those are fabulous books.
Yeah.
I mean, they really go into the death march and
you get a better sense. Mm-hmm.
We don't go into the brutalization that deeply. There's a lot of light moments in our book because Doc had a great sense of humor.
Don, we would be remiss not to ask you about your career. As I said, you are a voiceover king, and you still are working. Well, did you think when you first got into the business that it would lead to all the things that it led to for you?
I had no idea where it would lead, but what I did know from the very first day was how much I loved it. And I teach, and I tell my students or potential students, if you don't absolutely love this more than anything, then don't waste your money on it. Don't bother, because there's a lot of, you know, as you well know,
sure,
as anybody in this business knows, there's a lot of resistance to getting that first job, and it's just like there's a lot of resistance to putting out your first book.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
Maybe if you're a brain surgeon, maybe there's a lot of resistance to the first brain surgery. I don't want the guy who's never operated on anybody doing me, I'll tell you that.
I would agree with you, absolutely. You know, as your career went on and spanned all kinds of different things, one of the things is you became a Cronkite, I can barely say it, Uncle Walter's announcer on the Sunday news special. I met him one time and he was very gracious, and this was many years ago, but you worked with him, so to speak. What was he like?
Walter was just one of the greatest guys you could ever want to meet. And it's interesting that I never knew Walter's politics until 50 years later. And Walter, Britt Hume was remarking about Walter recently on the air and saying that nobody in the industry knew what Walter's politics were, because Walter was from the old school of journalism where you reported the story. You didn't try to slant it. So I spent a lot of time with Walter. We closed up Good Shores in New York every Sunday night, or really Monday morning. And we talked about everything in the world, I thought, but I guess we never really got into politics. Funny.
Yeah, how interesting. Another interesting person that you worked with, and you must have known a little bit, was Jackie Gleason. I still can look at his old clips and laugh out loud. Was he that funny off the air?
Well, other than seeing Gleason in Toots Shores every Sunday, I did the last show that the last series of shows that he did in New York. And you don't go up and meet Jackie Gleason. You don't get friendly with Jackie Gleason. I would not even assume to, but when he brings you out on the stage, he acts as if you're his best friend, which of course is for an announcer. That's a marvelous thing to get a great intro, you know, as you can imagine. And at least to the audience, it looks like you're his best friend for a minute anyway. But I didn't get to know Jackie Gleason per se, other than that initial handshake, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's as close as I got to Jackie.
Yeah. You go from things like that where you're doing the announcing to you also had hosting jobs at a couple of different networks where you were doing game shows. You were hosting game shows.
Yeah, I did some game shows. The first one was called Camouflage at ABC. And then I did one for Merv Griffin at NBC called Let's Play Post Office. And then I had something that was actually kind of worthwhile in an ABC show called Science All-Stars, which was not a game show, where we took the science winners, the National Science Fair winners, and we would put them on. If somebody was in rocketry, we would have Wernher von Braun as the adult guest, so to speak. And I would interview these people, and I mean, my ability to read off the teleprompter was pretty good by then, so it looked like I knew what I was talking about, even if I didn't. But I thought that show was you know, really something worthwhile. It was on for a couple of years on ABC.
Yeah. What was your...
And I had one out of Dallas that I really loved doing with Dizzy Dean, a syndicated radio show just like yours.
Yeah.
And that was 1950.
Hmm. And Dizzy Dean and you became pretty good friends, I would imagine, because didn't he take you to New York? Didn't he tell you to come to New York?
Yeah, that's how I got to New York. Dizzy got me to quit my job down there in Dallas at WFAA and move to New York. And I'd saved up during the couple of years $500. And in 2 weeks, I blew it in New York.
But that was pretty
easy. Bought a drink, I bought a drink. And we were hanging out with a Yankee ball club up there in the Bronx at the Grand Concourse Hotel. And I got to meet everybody on the Yankee ball club. And it was a great thrill, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I was with them for, 2 or 3 months before the job that Dizzy thought he had for me fell through. But then he got me another one. With McClendon Station down there, KLIF in Oak Cliff.
Sure.
I don't know if that's who owns it now, but anyway, Gordon McClendon was called the Old Scotchman, and he had a network of stations across the country. So Dizzy got me a job with Gordon, and I was there for another year before I started to work with the networks and so forth.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of time left, but I got to ask you this question. Who was, of all the famous people that you've worked with, that you met, who was your favorite? Who's your favorite, Don?
Who's my favorite? Well, somebody, I guess my favorite hang-around pal was a guy I met there in Dallas in 1949 on WFAA when Margot Jones Theater was Theater 49. Is what it would have been called then. His name was Jack Warden, and he had not yet done his first movie. But then he came to New York after, and he was on Broadway, and then he got into films and did films and series and so forth. And I was with Jack right up until his death, about 4 or 5 years ago. We spent a lot of time with each other on both coasts.
Yeah, and he, of course, famous, I'm trying to think, people would know what, Dragnet?
No, he was with NYPD, the original one in New York.
Oh, yeah.
But he did a lot of, then he was Jigsaw John, and he had a bunch of series, you know.
Yeah.
Played a lot of cops and detectives and so forth through the years.
Yeah, I remember that. What a pleasure. Voice over guru, Don Morrow, thanks so much for hanging with us here on America Tonight.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Don.